Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father. I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father.
And welcome to Solutions Radio tonight. Tonight, we shall have Martha Masharia from Houston. She's also written a book. She'll tell us more about it. And she will continue with the topic we began last Tuesday, Can Two Really Become One? So Martha Masharia from Houston, you're welcome.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much, Chico. I just want to take the opportunity to thank God for even being able to speak today to every one of you. Chico, I just have to say, you're such an encouragement and a challenge that you have healed with prophetess and just been there. You don't miss prayers. You're such a challenge, and I just thank God for you this day.
Thank you very much.
I know Prophetess is not on the line with us, but I just, could you please tell her, I thank her so much for the opportunity. And I just tell her that I pray that God will enlarge her territory in every way.
Yes, I will.
Thank you, everyone else, for calling in. I know we are busy. We have things to do. I actually have two kids, so my husband could not be here with me, but he's here in spirit, just in the next room, trying to do a few things. So I just want to tell you a little bit about myself, and then I'll talk about the book, and then I will go on from there, continue with what we were talking about last week. As Chico told you, my name is Martha Masharia. I live in Houston. I've been married for 7 years next Monday. And we have two children, Amy and Ian. Amy is 4 years old. Ian is 18 months. Amy's name actually means beloved or dearly loved. And Ian means God is gracious. We were big about naming our children. Having names that have meaning. I gave my life to the Lord in the year 2000 after I had come here. And then after a short period of time, I actually backslid. So I am very aware of the alcohol world. I know it very well. So I know that many people do need deliverance from that world. I thank God that He delivered me. In 2002, I completely surrendered my life to Him. I met my husband in 2003, but we actually started dating in 2004. We got married 2006. I really love my husband. He is so God-sent. My my life pastor, I was really full of pain, so I didn't want to get married. I know many people, there are people in that category, and I do hope to be able to help them to be at a place where they want to get married, that they have all the walls around them broken down, and God is very able to do that. So I will start from saying, I mean, my topic today is, how do we get to that place? How do we foster oneness before marriage? How do you do that? Because it's important for us to know that whoever we choose to live with in the future, it really makes us or breaks us. So that's where I want to talk about. My ministry right now is more to the single ladies. I can talk to single gentlemen, but there are some things I do not know much about men, so I do not. It's easier for me to talk to the ladies, but there are things I will generalize about both gentlemen and ladies. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction?" And this is the New Living Translation. The answer to that question, that really was a question. The answer to that question is no. You can't walk if you cannot agree on one direction, you cannot walk together. It's very difficult. I mean, if you already are, you know, you're at home with your sister, with your brother, you don't agree on something. Now here you're two people married, and you're supposed to walk in this one place. And if you cannot agree on that, then there is no way you can get to where you need to go. And that's why it's important to know who it is you have in your life. Who is it? Who are you going to end up with? Where are you going? You ask questions like, what do you want to be? Who do you want to be? There are people who they have been called to be pastors, and you probably don't even, that's not your calling. So you do not want to get married to such a person. You do not even, that's not your calling in life. So you need to know all those things. But let me say this, it is very difficult to work with someone when you are not headed in the same direction. God has had to give me new friends in my life. In the past two and a half years, he's literally just removed old friends because we are not working in the same place. And he's given me new friends who actually, as far as spiritual, their spiritual level is concerned, they are actually higher than me. And I just thank God because he had to do that. He knew that, you know, it would be a matter of time before I started getting influenced. When I was around 11 years old, I had a friend who just had just this don't care attitude to anything. I mean, nothing. She cared about nothing, not school. And I tell you the truth, that I went with that attitude all the way to college. I mean, talk about high school, talk about my 4 years in university. I have a bachelor's degree, and I didn't care. I didn't even care what I became. I didn't care what happened to me. I mean, I had no vision. I had no direction. And this is what happens when we have friends. Our friends matter so much. They influence us. So we have to, you know, we have to be careful. Now, if God cares so much about the kind of friend you have, what about the kind of friend, the kind of person you will get married to? 2 Corinthians 6:13-15 says, "By way of return then, do this for me. I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers." And I'm reading for the Amplified Version. And it says, "Do not make mismatched alliances with them or come under a different yoke with them inconsistent with your faith. For what partnership has right living and right standing with God, with iniquity and lawlessness? Or how can light have fellowship with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever?" In order to foster oneness before you ever get married, you have to have this item in your list: a man or a woman who is born again. There are people who believe that it is okay to be in a relationship with someone who attends church but has not given their life to God. That by them watching you, or by you, you know, in a way they will get saved because of your actions, or you can preach to them and they will get saved. Let me point out problems with this theory, because they are there. You are going contrary to what God is telling you to do. And that means you are walking in disobedience. Whenever you walk in disobedience, you bear the consequences of your disobedience. God loves us. I mean, he really does. But when we walk in disobedience, we leave the nest. We leave his protection place. We actually do. We literally walk away from that. So you bear the consequences of that disobedience. And let me put it this way. Just like obedience has a ripple effect, disobedience has a ripple effect. And I'd rather that we say they're part of obedience, because the ripple effects of obedience, the blessings of obedience, they are just awesome. You just need to go through the Bible and just see them. Number two, you are trying to do God's work. God's work is a work of conviction. That is not our job. God's work is to save. That's why he sent his son, and it's for him to convict. Not for us to be, telling somebody, about Christ, you need to get saved. And this is what we will be doing. When you're in a relationship with someone who's not born again, that's all you tell them. That's what your desire for them is to get saved. And let me just say, because I do know at least two or three people who are married to people who are not saved, and their biggest desire is for their husbands to get saved. And this is a prayer item for them every single day. And ordinarily, when you are married to somebody who is saved, that's not a big thing for you. Yes, you are praying for other things. You're praying for God's direction. You're praying for God to guide them. You're praying that they find, they go, they do what God wants. But you are not praying for this very thing of them to get born again. And let me tell you, when you have children together, the whoever it is, whether it's the woman or the man, who's not born again, and the way you're raising children is gonna be so totally different. There are things in the spirit he doesn't understand. The things that go on there are very, very many things. So you have to really be careful. This is not one of those things that I could tell you that could be in your list of choice of a man or a woman. This is actually not one of those things it is a must. This is what God says that we have to do. Point number three, it is easier for him who is not born again or her to pull you down than you to pull them up, simply because of our human nature. Our human nature is a sinful nature. Our flesh is weak. That's why, we tend to do just the wrong things, and every day we have to ask forgiveness. So if you are thinking that when you are in a relationship with someone who's not born again, I'm going to pull them up towards them, knowing God, and you have that desire, chances are they will pull you down. I'm not saying they'll pull you down and get you out of salvation, no. You will compromise. I mean, it's just the way we are, and it becomes a very difficult situation to be in. And let me make this point. If you are in a relationship right now, and you have somebody who is making you compromise, then you are not, you literally need to get out, because your relationship is not, he could be the right person. I'm not saying he's not the right person, but you are not walking in obedience, and it is important for you. Well, before you get married, to really do that, walk in obedience and just lean on God on every single decision that you make, because it affects your marriage. Point number four, it is very difficult to walk with someone who does not care about the word of God. I remember a friend was telling me a story, and she said, this lady was in a relationship with this man. He's not born again. And one of the things he said was, how can you tell me about God when you're dating me? You know you're not supposed to date me. They know. They know. And it's very challenging when somebody tells you that. And unfortunately for her, they're already, doing what married people are supposed to do. So it's like she was already a wife, although not in the sense of having been married. So it was very hard for her to get out of this. And this is not the really show where I'll talk about soul ties. So I do not want to get into that so much. But I will say that let's just do what God wants to do. It's difficult when somebody is walking in disobedience and they don't even know they are walking in disobedience. They don't even know they are walking according to the way of the world. They do not even know, because they don't have the light. They have not been, God has not come and showed they don't have that understanding. You do have that understanding. So when you have that understanding, it becomes, it's like a day and night. You're walking this way and they are walking this way, and it's very difficult. So I know that there are a few exceptions to this rule. There are people who have stories of where they got married and somebody was not saved, and you know, and they got saved. There are stories like that. I have heard them. But are you sure that you're going to be among those ones? Are you sure when you sit there that, you know what, I'll probably be among those? How sure are you? I mean, you'd rather be safe than sorry. Let me tell you, my husband and was in waiting when I met him. You know, I as much as I've written the book Waiting for a Husband, he probably would have more knowledge of writing a book called Waiting for a Wife, because he had to wait. He's been born again for 21 years. He's been born again for around 10. So he, before we met, I wasn't even born again when he was praying for a wife. I mean, I met him 6 months after my relationship with the Lord was renewed. And by that time, he was already praying for a spouse. So he knows more about waiting. I know about waiting in the sense, not as far as the length, but I know about waiting in the sense of how God has directed me to write the book. And I'll talk about that, you know, when I'm about to finish. My second point is, in order to foster oneness before you get married, you have to pray for your future spouse. And I give the example of my husband. You don't know what is going on with him. You don't know what's going on with her. You don't know what part of the world he's in. He might be in Australia, or she might be back in Africa. She, you know, God is trying to bring that person here, and you need to intercede. And, you know, don't imagine that he's, the person is in, I don't know, South Africa, and then he's starting interceding. Oh, my man is in South Africa. Don't imagine those things. Just intercede for whoever the person is. You know, I met a lady who told me that before she ever got married, she bought a tie, and she had it, you know, a tie pinned in her room, and that's who she believed, that's her husband. So she used to, and she actually named him, and that's the person she ended up getting married with the same name that she used to pray about. But just, you know, this is going to be a walk by faith thing and not by sight. So you just intercede for the person, intercede for your future spouse, pray for them, pray for their needs, pray for their relationship with Christ. They might not even know God yet. So it is up to you to intercede for them. Now, my point number three is, in order to foster oneness before marriage, you need to grow in the knowledge and understanding of who God is. Let me say this. This is the most important thing and I have very many points, but I only took three out. This is the most important point. This is what God's message to me in the book was, please tell my children that I want them to know me. I want them to understand who I am. I want to have a relationship with them and to have a growing relationship with them. You know, not that one where you go for a month, you have not talked to God. No, not the Sunday one that you go when whichever church you go to, and you go and they preach, and then you do nothing the whole week. God wants, and he just desires such a deep relationship with you. And that is the way to be guided towards who the person is. I mean, if there is anything you need to do, is this, like, grow that relationship with God. You know, I know this is, you know, I know, and by the way, let me just say, there's no shortcut to this apart from reading the Word of God and communicating with him. There's no other shortcut to growing that. You know, it's not by osmosis, it's not by any other thing. It is by you just reading the Word of God and communicating with God. The Word of God is new every time. I mean, the things I have read, he speaks differently. When I have written the book, there are things in the book that I could teach a single person in that book, and there are things in that book that I can actually remove the points and teach people who are married from that same book. And it is just the way God has opened the Word for me. But if I did not know the Word, if I was not reading different stories, Abraham, whatever, stories, Daniel, all of those things, there's no way I'd learn what the points that God had given me. And the one of the beautiful things about just being able to communicate to God, you will learn how He speaks. God different speaks in very many in different ways, in dreams, in He can you can hear His voice through the inner, you know, that silent, quiet, you know, your inner self you hear. But majority of the times He speaks through His word. And you, when you know those verses, you read what He's saying, and you just, you know, it's just, let me just say this. I love to hear what God says so much. I just want to read, and that's the majority of the way He's spoken to me. That's how He led me to my husband. That's the way he led us to do the things we are doing. That's how He led me to write the book. You know, it's because of just reading, being able to read His word, and He opens it up for me. Also, you will avoid many mistakes because you know when He is saying no, when He is saying wait, or yes. In essence, He says no, wait, or yes. Many times, God will say no, but we're in that place. Maybe you're 35, you're 34, you're 36, I've had 26-year-olds still feeling like they're so old. And don't let that make the decision for you. Don't let your age make the decision for you. You just, you know, say, God, okay, God, you said no. Because the enemy has a way of sending counterfeit. He sent me a counterfeit before I ever started going, and I ever started a relationship with my husband. I was sent for a counterfeit. And I tell you the truth, within 3 weeks, I knew it was a counterfeit, which, by the way, was a very long time. I should have taken a shorter time, but I didn't quite understand, and I was still a new Christian, so I didn't understand all those. So, but I knew after 3 weeks that this is a counterfeit. And so we have to, the way you know it's a counterfeit, is by the knowledge of just understanding who God is and how he talks and what He is saying. In the parable of the wheat and tares, the way you tell the wheat, and I'll say this as far as the wheat meaning somebody who's born again, who loves God, and the way you tell a tare is somebody who probably acts, I see they love God, act. Yeah, people, I mean, you cannot tell until God is able to show you. And for you to have that in a way that you can tell the difference in that relationship with God, God said to tell you that you hold the key to unlock the door to your future. You only need to use it. The key is your relationship with God. It needs to be growing. Whether you are single, whether you are married, the key to whatever it is that you need is your relationship with God. You know, whatever it is you're single, you whatever it is you want to do, you know, whatever it is you want to go, if God has, you know, if the person, let's say, I'll give an example, if maybe whoever it is you're meant to meet is in a TD Jakes conference, and then you just feel this need to go to that conference, or the Holy Spirit guides you to go there. And I tell you, Bam, 3 years later, you're saying, oh, I met my husband at the TD Jakes conference. By the way, let me make this point. Please don't go to a TD Jakes conference because I say that. That's not what I am saying. I am only saying that the Holy Spirit will bring, and He's the one who tells you how to go, what to do, and He puts you in this place where you will meet the person. Let me also make this point, that you do stand out when you are reading your word and when you are obeying and walking in the way God wants you to walk. You stand out. I mean, you could be knowing how to dress, you'd be knowing how to comb your hair, however it is, you have all this makeup, you know how to do your makeup. But if you are not growing, because we are known by our fruit, if you are not that, if you are, you just look like everybody else, and you cannot stand out. You have to be able to understand God, grow and grow and grow so that you stand out, because all those things, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, they are sin, patience, all those things. Somebody who is truly born again and just loves God will support you. Your future person will support you. And when you are single, you can spend more time with God than when you get married. I know married people can attest to that on this line. Because I remember when I was single and I would take the word and I would read it and read it and read it and read it. Now I'm married, and especially with two children, it becomes difficult. So I have to pull out from the things I learned when I was single back then many times. I have to pull from that. When I wrote the book, the many, many things that the many, many stories I read in the Bible, actually read them back then. And so the lessons were being pulled out from stories I had read back then. And some of them, yes, was a little bit later. But I just want to if I haven't talked about growth enough, if you, like, that is to me the number one. That is what you need to do. When your relationship is growing and someone asks you to be their special friend or in a relationship, you'll automatically ask God. Like, God becomes the focus. God knows the answer. He is very faithful. He will let you know whether this is the person, whether this is not the person. And let me just tell you this little story. When the enemy sent me a counterfeit, this is what he did. When the person came around, I heard God, I heard the voice say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And I heard another voice tell me, you see, God is saying you should trust in him, that this is the man for you. And let me tell you, the enemy knows scripture. And at that point in time, I got so confused because I wasn't very sure who is saying what is going on. So, but within, as I said, within 2 or 3 weeks, I already knew that I should not even be close to this person. Now, let me give you some pointers before I talk about the book, and then I'll open the floor for any questions. And I hope that you will remember this. Once you develop an intimate relationship with Christ, you then know what you are looking for in a man or a woman, because you gain knowledge and understanding of what a man or a woman who has an intimate relationship with Christ looks like. Point number two, I believe you can make the right choice for yourself if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Number three, marriage is a covenant, not to be taken lightly. You have to be absolutely sure that the man or the woman is God's choice for you. You have to know. I've asked this question. I normally ask when somebody tells me, you know, I have been in this relationship. The first question I ask them to question is, he born again? And I've had questions, you know, I've had answers like, you know, I really don't know. Yeah, you do need to know. And the second question I always ask is, has God spoken? Has he said yes to you? And you have to, like, without a shadow of a doubt, that this is the person God has for you. When God is directing you not to get into a relationship with certain people, he is simply saying, child, I just love you. I just care. I can see ahead. I know this person's heart. You know, in the book, I talk about one of David's sons. I have forgotten his name right now. But he was the most handsome, you know, person. He was so handsome and on the outside. But he was the worst among David's sons. He was the worst. So just, you know, you need to, God knows people's hearts. God knows how the person is on the inside. You do not know. He knows. So he's simply saying, child, I just love you. I just want to save you the nightmare. I just want to save you the headache. And I just want to save you the feeling of, I should have listened. I should have listened. I had a friend of mine, she's going to be with the Lord. And before she got married, she was told many times, do not marry this man. Do not marry this man. And she had such an anointing of evangelism in her life. I mean, that is what her calling was. But I tell you, she got married to that man, and she never fulfilled that calling in her life. I mean, he was her worst nightmare. And I tell you, I know the story so deep that I can tell you that he really, really, I mean, that stopped her from doing whatever it was she was meant to do. And to a point where she said, God, I want to die. She used to pray that prayer so much that God just released her to just go and be with him and for her to have peace. You don't want to do that. You don't want to end up there where people say, please don't get married. Please don't do this. My last point is, you cannot change a person when you get married. What you see right now is a tiny percentage of what is to come. So if you're seeing compassion, it is just a tiny percentage of how compassionate somebody is going to be. If you're seeing rudeness and all that, it's just a very tiny percentage of what somebody is going to be like. those are just a few ways. I mean, I have so much to say, but little time. And I just want to say that, you know, I hope that this helps you to understand how you foster oneness way before you ever get married, that by choosing the right person for you, that's the way you're able to work together and be together in that oneness. And I'm not saying that you're perfect or you agree in everything. That's not what we mean by that. But it's just that you are on the same page. You are in the same level. I mean, you are one pretty much as God puts it. Let me tell you a little bit about my book so I can open the floor. Shiko had given me the time, how much time I'm supposed to do this. My book is called Waiting for a Husband, The Godly Way. Majority of that book, majority of the information in that book was pretty much written, directed by the Holy Spirit. I used to sit down on a computer and he would download and I would just be typing. As a matter of fact, there's a whole chapter that he writes. You know, God, the Holy Spirit just writes it, and all I did was just type, you know, and I just want to say that, yes, I have been saved for, a number of years. I'm not an old Christian. I'm not one of those who's been saved for many years. But that, your length of salvation does not mean God cannot use you. God is looking for people to use, but the most important thing is that relationship with Him. And so He directed me to write the book. And it's actually right now on sale from the publisher's site. I do have some copies. But it actually starts getting into the bookstore. The release date for that book is July 30th. I feel so honored that I am from a different country. I was not born again when I came here. And I just thank God. And I am a living testimony that He can do what He says He will do. That means what He says, the word that comes out of my mouth shall not come back to me void, is that He actually means exactly what He says, that He is going to accomplish, you know, He is going to do whatever He has said He is going to do. And that's really pretty much what the book is about. And again, I don't know anything I can say, but it was a work of God. It is a work of God, and I'm waiting to see what else He wants me to do. And I'm there to serve, you know, to do whatever He directs me to do. Shiko, I'm done. So I can open the floor for questions.
Okay. Thank you very much for that introduction. We really appreciate. At this time, we'd like to open up. If you have a question, just press 1. And we'll be able to call your number out. And before we begin receiving questions, I do have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you touched on how you had to change your friends when you got married, because it was a process of becoming one.
Yes.
And I just want to know, how did you think through your friends and, you know, look, pick and choose, this one is not going to help my relationship with my husband, it's not going to help me become one with my husband. How do you know which friends are going to hurt your marriage and which friends are going to help build your marriage?
How you know which friends are going to hurt or build your marriage depends on, I would say, a couple of things. But the first one is, what are they telling you? How are they building you? You see, words either break or build. Are they speaking into your life? You know, is it a friend when you go and tell her, you know, my husband did this, and you know, we share sometimes, and then he tells you, how could he? Or is it a friend who helps you to understand, you know, it's because you actually did this, or you know, that's why there was this, or I'll pray for you, or however it is, or good guidance. How, you know, that kind of thing. Now, let me tell you a little story here. There is somebody right now who, you know, they just have a bad friend, and the person doesn't even know. All she's being told is your husband is cheating. She has no proof. So she's been disturbing the man over and over and over, and he just wants to go. He's on his way leaving her. So you pretty much have to, it's who is speaking into your life. Are they encouraging you towards becoming a oneness, or are they just discouraging you to the place where you feel, amen. Even if I let this man, the grass is green on the other side. Let me put it this way. There are people in your boat, you have friends in your boat. Some of them are rowing with you. Some of them are busy making holes in your boat. And the way you tell, for me, the way I tell you, who is speaking into my life, who is encouraging me, who is discouraging me by just the way they speak. Did that answer your question, Chico?
Yes, it did answer my question. Very good. Yeah, very well answered. I also want to, you got me thinking about becoming one, and I hadn't really realized that even as you become one, maybe there are some little sacrifices you have to make, because here you are, two different people.
Yes.
So how easy or how hard is it to, like, you know, give up something? Like, let's say, for example, like me, I love my sleep, and, you know, maybe when I get tired, I have to give up my many hours of sleep. So how would you advise someone like me, because I really love my sleep?
Let me just say this. Let me put it this way. You probably find someone who has no problem with you sleeping.
Oh,
and I say that to you. Just because God honestly, let me put it this way. It's just this way. If your sleep is an issue, then God will bring you somebody who that needs to stop being an issue. But if your sleep is not an issue, then God will bring somebody who has no problem with you sleeping. Okay? I know a friend of mine who can't function without 8 hours of sleep. Her husband doesn't make noise because she sleeps for 8 hours. You know, honestly, I mean, those to me are, you know, when you get married, you know, there are things that you do have to give up. Honestly, I remember when I first got married, I couldn't stand cooking. Oh, my goodness, because I was a noodles person. I mean, before I got married, I was always broke. So I was always noodles. And I was not broke because, it was not really out of choice. But I was always buying noodles, so I never was cooking. So I didn't want to cook, and the first year was really tough for me, you know. And yet, I'm the woman. I'm really supposed to cook. I mean, I don't expect my husband to be in the kitchen every day. You know, so I had to learn how to cook. And now I enjoy it. And why do I enjoy it? Because I love how he actually says, I love your food. That just gives me more energy to cook. So God will bring people like that in your life. But if there are things that God has to remove, then he's going to bring somebody that's going to challenge you in a very nice way so that comes out. Because at the end of the day, what God is trying to do, is doing, is when you want that you become that God wants you to, as an example of who he wants you to become. So you're an example to many other people, you know. So that's what it is. I mean, and as I said, I'd have to go to, like, specific things, like, you know, some of the things that that just have to go just before you ever get married. I mean, I entered a lady before she got married, and I entered her room, and I told her, oh, you gotta learn how to be me. I mean, you really, really just have to, because, oh my goodness, I mean, I can't imagine entering. You are supposed to literally clean the house, but you can't. You're not neat, you're not tidy. So those are some of those things. You just have no, you just have to do it. But the other things, you know, he has to compromise, you have to compromise. So, you know, but you sleep, Chico. Chico, there's no problem with sleeping. You can sleep all you want. And you know what? I can sleep as much because you're not sleep. That sleep might become a problem, especially when you get children.
Yeah.
So you take your time, see, but you know, that's as much as I can say to you.
Mhm.
Yes.
Oh, thank you for that answer. Okay, callers, we encourage you to press 1 if you have a question. And as we continue on with our host, Martha, today, I also have another question for you.
Go ahead, Chico, go ahead.
And it's just in the process of becoming one. And how do you come to a decision when you have major decisions to make? And here you are, two people. And decisions like children, how many children? How do you come into agreement when you're making such big decisions?
those are things you have to talk about before you get married.
Mm-hmm.
And those things change afterwards, by the way, and I'll give you an example in a little while, but there are things you have to talk about before you get married. Things about children, you need to know where you are concerning that. Not that when you get there and then, ha-ha, I want five. And then the lady mm-hmm. goes, you're not the one getting there. You know, hey, and this is an argument. As you're in this relationship, you talk about those things. You need to know where you're headed. You need to know his goals. Are they in one instinct with yours, you know? Because, you know, when he meets you or when he finds you, you are going somewhere. You know, I'm hoping that in this line that, you know, for people who are single, that they know where they are headed. Because, you know, you don't want somebody to come and kind of decide where you're headed. So this is where you're heading, and he encourages you to go there. You know, but there are things you have to talk about. You know, as I said earlier, I talked about, you know, maybe somebody wants to be a pastor, and you just know that, you know, your pastor is not a calling in your life. I mean, you're so sure. So there's no use of getting there because you are not going to be able to do that after you get married. And if that's, you know, if that's something that you've been called to do, then yeah, but it's different when you really don't care for it. You know, but there are many things you have to talk about. Just make sure you're in the same line, you know, as you're talking about being children and your goals. You know, there's no problem making 5-year goals, because I'm thinking that if you're in a relationship, then that's where you're headed. If you're in a relationship where you're wishing or hoping that you're going to get married to somebody, then you're really in the wrong place. You know, in a relationship, you need to know this is where we are going, we are getting married. You don't have to have the date, you don't have to have the year, but, you know, let me take that back. If you're dating too long, that's just an issue right there. I mean, you need to be on one page, you know, and just discuss the many things you can think of. I'm hoping one day to come up with a questionnaire where I can actually send people to just have their minds, you know, running with the things they need to know and the reality of marriage. Because a lot of people who are single don't yet know that reality of what it means to live with somebody and just the day-to-day decisions. You know, in our marriage, I'm the kind of person who, I don't see why we are fighting over stuff. Okay, hey, if let's just do this. I'm a very free person. Oh yeah, is this heading us towards loving God? Okay, no problem with that. He's a little bit laid back in decision making. He takes a little longer. I mean, I know he loves God. We are headed in the right direction, so I don't normally bother with a lot of things. Now, let me say about children, because we talked about children before we got married, and we wanted 3 children. And I am telling you, I have changed my mind on the man, because I really I've gone through too much with just the 2. So, and he does. He understands that. He understands that it's been difficult for us. You know, we've not had anybody help us, so he understands that. Now, does that mean that one time I was just saying, well, I guess the 3rd one, but as of right now, I cannot have this discussion. But he gets it, and you do want somebody like that. And I normally like to give this example of, you know, as you're praying and as you're in waiting, that you want to pray for somebody who can walk with you when it's a difficult time. You want to pray for somebody who will be with you. And I normally give this example of Hannah and Elkanah. And Elkanah and Hannah, Elkanah left. They had this problem, they couldn't get children. But when he married somebody else, now he left the problem with his wife, with Hannah, and he couldn't understand. But when we come to Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, and Zechariah, Zechariah never went and married somebody else. Him, he walked with his wife. So just pray for somebody who can walk with you even through those problems. Not somebody who's going to go and make a decision, and it's that decision he made is what is affecting you, you know. So those are just, you know, as you pray and guide, you know, God will help you pray about those little bit of things.
Wow. Thank you very much. Yes, we do have a caller. Area code 205. Your last 4 digits are 4573. You're welcome.
Oh, thank you. My name is Simon, and I just wanted to make a contribution on the first question that Chico asked about friends. And I've been married for 8 months, and I thought I can share this, how my friends changed. Mm. And actually, immediately you start dating somebody who you're intending to marry, in a way, it's not like you throw away your friends, but your focus changes and your friends start to change. Because for me, my friends started changing in a way that, because the questions I had, I could not ask my single friends because they didn't have the answers. So I started asking the married people, and I started with the time I realized I'm actually now communicating with married people more than my other friends, because they don't know answers to my question. And it's not like you, some of them, they are people you always treasure in your life and they will be there, but it's kind of they take a back seat, and you actually realize now as you get toward getting married, you actually going out with people who are married. I started being invited in baby showers and stuff like that. And you realize your goals are changing, and it affects even the group of people, because you cannot go ask your single friend about how to arrange a wedding and all those kind of stuff. So it actually, your goals makes your friend, pushes your friends to change. And there are those friends that maybe they don't actually add value in your life. You realize, hey, if somebody, I mean, even if you're single, if somebody is not adding value in your life, I mean, in a way, they always fade away in your life. That's what I wanted to share.
Thank you. That's awesome. I hadn't forgotten about that. It's good to hear from newly married people, because I had absolutely forgotten that I did lose some single, actually. Majority of my single friends, I actually did lose them after I got married, and partly because I love to speak to single people. I love to get them, but we don't understand, you know, there's this not understanding that you kind of have changed. When you get married, I've changed, I'm doing, you know, this or that, and my husband or wife comes fast at this point, and, you know, the things that we could do, can't do anymore together. Yeah, I hear you. Thank you. Chico, did you get that one? Let me make this point for single ladies or single men. Make a point of befriending married people. There's things they can tell you that you can avoid. You know, I mean, I'm very open, and partly why God would allow me to write this book. I'm very open, and I don't mind telling people how to do their wedding, or if I was right now, if somebody told me to redo a wedding, it is not going to happen. There's too much work. Now that's just what I think. But befriend married people. I mean, go into their houses, see how they live. You know, there are things you will learn as you go. You know, I honestly will tell you, Chico, that you're in this one very good place, that prophetess is your, not only your, because I do believe she's also your mentor. So, you know, you're set, Chico.
Thank you.
But, you know, so make sure you befriend. There are things, you know, a married person can tell you, you know, avoid the, you know, as you go on, you know. And let me say this, don't befriend them. Befriend them the way you befriend them is go help them once in a while with their children. You know, people don't expect to be paid. I mean, let me tell you, so many bills married people have. And if you're expecting someone to call you, oh, you know, I'll pay you $50 to come watch my two kids for 4 hours, it is very difficult. So go help them clean their car. Go help stay, even if it's for an hour for somebody to sleep. They'll start sharing with you things. You start understanding what it is to be prepared to be a wife or a husband. And that's, you know, that's how that goes. But anyway.
Wow. Thank you so much. This show is going very well. I'm still going to ask some more questions because we don't have another caller on queue. And, you know how ladies just like to talk, and whenever they're going through something, they want to vent to their lady friends or their circle of friends.
How can you advise a married woman who maybe is going through a situation with the husband, but she's itching to talk to her circle of friends? You know, how would you advise somebody who's married, let's say a newly married person, because here they are, they were single, they would talk to their circle of friends, take their issues to their circle of friends, but now here you are, you're married, and maybe the situation that you're going through is something between you and your husband. I mean, how can you strike that balance and you don't rush to your circle of friends first, because now you're married? How can you help a newly married person?
First of all, don't tell anybody who's single what's going on in your marriage. They can't help you. They cannot help you. They don't know. It's like a pastor going to share with a congregant, this is what I'm going through. They don't understand. So you're doing yourself and your marriage a disservice by doing that. One of the advices I give people before they get married or as they are dating is to identify with a married couple. It saves you a lot. It helps you as far as your boundaries go when you're dating. It gives you somebody you're accountable to. You know, a lot of us do not like to be held accountable. I used to be like that. I have changed very quickly. I like to be held accountable. So as you're in a relationship, make sure you have a couple who's married, who loves God, who, you know, serving God, and let them hold you accountable, so that when you get married, you can go to them. You can go to that lady, ask her, you know, I'm going through this, or you know, in an easy way, or even if you have to be direct, but you already trust that person because you are walking. They walked with you as you are in your relationship. Okay. One of the things I see is when people are getting married, and I know people, you know, single people work with single people, and married people, we have a tendency to work with married people, and but it's actually important to have a couple who's married, and that's why you identify with a couple who's married, because then they can work with you even as you are newly married, because there are challenges, you know, when you're newly married, there are things you don't understand, there are things you don't get, you know, there are things you probably are doing wrong. You're not understanding how you need to communicate. Men are different from women, you know. So there are all those things. The other thing that is important to do is go for premarital counseling. Do this before you ever get married. And there you will learn very many things that you ought not to do. You know, different churches do it differently. But, you know, make sure you attend a premarital counseling session. So, you know, but the one thing I'd advise anybody, two things I would say, don't tell a single person about your marriage. They really cannot help you. They would love to. They just really will not give you. I mean, those who really love you will probably sit there and listen. But chances are they really cannot guide you to where you need to go. And secondly, the couple, identify the couple when you're in a relationship, and that couple that you can talk to them, you know, after you get married. And sadly, if you really are not like that, I mean, honestly, God is right. If you can't talk to anybody, who cry to God? In fact, that should be probably the first thing you ought to do. You know, that talk to God, but, you know, sometimes we really need somebody to hear. So go to a couple that you do identify with. Have I answered your question, Shiku?
Yes, you have.
You are challenging me to think very far.
Well, that's good. Yeah. We have about 8 more minutes, and let me ask one more. I think I'm on a roll today. But I want to give a scenario which really puzzles me. There was a couple I knew of, and the husband got into a very bad accident. He was a truck driver. And he was in ICU and he was bedridden for a while. So the wife actually had to quit her job and relocate to come and take care of her husband. So finally, when he got out of hospital and all he was doing was just therapy, they managed to move to a different state where there was a lot of family support, because they needed a lot of financial support. And I think they had lost their house and everything. So the wife stood by the husband the whole time, through the accident, through the time in the hospital, through rehab and everything. But when the husband was well and back on his feet again, they hit rock bottom in their marriage to the point the husband walked away. And it just puzzles me because the wife had been with the husband the whole time, quit her job, relocated, lost everything. And now when her husband is well, I mean, just things just hit rock bottom. But it from what I hear, it's like the wife was no longer into the marriage. So I was wondering, did she get burnt out, you know, being there for her husband the whole time? Just, yeah, give me your 2 cents on it. What do you think maybe happened in that scenario? Because she was there for him. And now that he's fine, it doesn't go well and he walks away.
I honestly will say this, and I'll make this comment, that in every marriage, there's always two sides of a story. But most marriages, not all, but majority of marriages, both partners have a part to play in its ending. So it is a difficult thing for me to say entirely what happened, because I don't know what was going on as they were doing rehab. I don't know their conversations on what they were talking about. From us, the outside, we see this, but there are different things that people do, body language, I mean, name it, everything. And, you know, people probably, the communication was an issue. So it's very difficult for me to actually pinpoint and tell you that this is how this went down. And yeah, it does look like she would leave, or he would leave, or they would break up when the accident happened or when they were going through this hard time. But I honestly can't tell you that she got tired or he got tired or what was going on there or however it was. I mean, I don't know. She could have just, maybe they had already had other issues. So, you know, at this time she was just compassionate. Yeah, maybe this will work. So, it would be very hard, Shiko, to actually tell you what made that marriage end. Because the two people, I tell you, so the highest percentage of marriages, the two people have a part to play. They have a part to play. And you know, there are things, you know, that's why, I mean, working with God is very important, because there are things you can spot from a mile away. You know, there are things you can tell from a distance. I remember a friend of mine who just had a whole issue with in-laws. You know, and some other issues in the marriage, and she couldn't quite understand what was going on until I've had to sit down and tell her, you see here, somebody opened a door in this generation here. So it has gone and followed so-and-so. You see, this is why this habit is here. And it's gone and followed so-and-so. So there are things, even people, you close some of those doors when you know them. God shows you what they are, you know. So it will be difficult for me to tell you exactly. And it's a puzzling situation, but difficult for me to tell you exactly what. Susan can even figure out exactly what happened to them. But yeah, it is sad, honestly. And one other thing I want to say, when you are thinking of oneness, also think that your oneness does affect your children when you get them. So that the person you choose, or the person who chooses you, or the person you choose, that your children, it will affect your children, you know, when they come in. So when you have the wrong person, it affects your children, because you all talk to each other. And that choice right there at the beginning, that one, when God says yes, then you're good to go. If you do not know that God said yes, then it's difficult. And that message was very, God was very particular about that message of him saying yes, because he's the one who knows who the person is. And let me just tell you a little story. There's a lady who, back in somewhere, I won't even say where, but she got married to this guy, and she had already seen sentences of how cruel he was as they were dating. And, you know, she ended up getting married to him. And and then some time back later, she went home. Now, the guy, they were rich. The lady, they were not very rich. They, you know, they had some, they didn't have a lot of money. So when she went home, her mom told her, you know, you just need to persevere. You know, there's a generation that believes that. just need to persevere and you'll be good. And within 1 year, she was dead. He killed her. He beat her and killed her.
Mm-hmm.
And it is important. It is so important for you to know that God is here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She quite love your question. Yeah, I could go on and on.
Yeah, thank you very much for all your answers and for all your input. It was very, very helpful, very informative. We've come to the end of our show. Thank you so much, listeners, all the people who called and those that were listening online. We trust that you are blessed and you learned something. So we've come to the end. Join us once again next Tuesday, same time, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, for another session of Solutions Radio. God bless you all, and thank you very much, Martha.
Thank you very much, Chico. Have a blessed evening.
Thank you.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.